I do believe that the Lord has laid a message upon my heart. If you want to turn with me this morning, we're going to be reading from Psalms 103, and we're going to be reading from the first verse through the fifth verse of that psalm. Psalms 103, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. I just would like to just put a couple of things out there while you're turning there this morning. Remember, as my wife brought out this morning, that Sandy is going to be speaking for us next Sunday, and my wife and I are going to be taking off at the end of the week, the end of next week, and headed to the Oregon coast for about a week or so. So pray for traveling mercies for us, and actually Cody and Laura are going to be meeting us over there too for a day or so. We're about coming home and they're going, but anyway, we're going to get to at least meet for dinner. But anyway, and then I have asked Haas if he would speak for us on Easter Sunday morning. And when I text him and I said, hey, how do you feel about speaking on Easter Sunday? And he said, you want me to do the big game? I mean, you want me to do the big one? I'm like, I think you can handle it. But anyway, so I am just going to go to the Oregon coast. I told this brother over here, Carlos, I said, I am just going to go to the Oregon coast, watch the waves, relax, and eat way too much seafood. He said, there is no such thing as too much seafood. I'm like, the brother has a point. Yeah, he's got a point. Anyway, we will be back for Easter Sunday morning. I'm just not going to be filling the pulpit. And then also, real quick, I had a brother that called me. We haven't had them with us in a very long time. It's been well over a year. But they are a traveling family that plays music, and the Tom Parks family. And they were with us in the park about a year or maybe 2 years ago. Something like that. Anyway, he called me, and they are working their way back to Missouri, and so we have booked them to come and play for us, and we're just going to have a time of worship. They've got, I don't know, keyboard and fiddle and all kinds of good stuff. So anyway, come on April the 8th, and we'll have a good time worshiping the Lord with them. So anyway, just some things out in the future, all right? So keep those things in mind this morning and invite somebody to come and be blessed. Amen. So Psalms 103, verse 1 through verse number 5. This is a familiar text, a familiar setting of Scripture. The writer is King David, and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. How many of you know there's some benefits in serving the Lord? He forgives all of thine iniquities and heals all of thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, and who crowns us with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, and who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I would ask that you bow your heads and let us pray together and ask the Lord for His help and His anointing in ministering His word. Heavenly Father, I am grateful. I'm grateful this morning for the presence of the Holy Spirit that I have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised. I am thankful this morning, Father God, for the love of Christ. I'm thankful this morning for your grace and your mercy and your everlasting kindness. We come to the reading of your word and the ministry of your word this morning, and I readily admit, Lord, of my own self, I am incapable. But if you will anoint me, and if you will touch me, and you will use me for your glory to speak your word, then these that hear will be blessed. I pray, Father God, that you would give me word to speak and utterance to proclaim, that your word would be in my mind and in my heart and in my mouth, and let it come forth under the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Let it fall upon ears that are equally touched of God to hear and to receive. Glorify your name and edify your people. And for all of these things this morning, Lord, we will be eternally grateful. And we ask them in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I'm going to title our message this morning, Divine Benefits. Divine Benefits. I will begin this morning by telling you that the historical background or the historical context of the psalm that we have read is a little bit unclear as it pertains to the date or even under what kind of circumstances that it was written. What evidently becomes very quickly clear and becomes quickly apparent as we read through the text is that David is moved with a heart of worship. David is moved when he begins to think of all of the things that God had done and all of the great works of the Lord. David is moved with a heart of worship. And he has this desire to give God a praise and to give God thanksgiving. Allow me, if I may, for just a moment this morning to endeavor to outline the entire chapter. In verses number 1 through verses number 5, David is giving God praise for personal blessing. He begins to give God praise from verse number 1 through verse number 5. He begins to worship the Lord and begins to praise the Lord for all of the things that God had done in his life and for all of the blessings that God bestows upon each one of us individually. In verse number 6 through verse number 7, David begins to speak of the blessings that God had revealed and poured out upon the nation of Israel. In verse number 8 through verse number 14, he tells us that God is gracious and that he is slow to anger. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? He says, God is gracious and he's slow to anger. And he begins to describe to us and begins to offer praise and worship unto God for his forgiveness and for his long suffering toward us. Verse number 15 through verse number 18, he begins to give God praise for God's eternal love. He concludes in verse number 19 through verse number 22nd verse. He concludes with a universal call for all individuals who have been blessed by the Lord to give God praise. As we read the chapter, it seems that David begins to recall all of the things that the Lord had done on a personal level, on a national level, and all of the things that God has provided. And David is just simply overwhelmed. He is just simply overcome with a heart to give praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Have you this morning just ever been overcome with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving for the things that God has done in your life? Amen. David, three separate times in this text that we have read this morning, he calls upon himself to render praise unto the Lord. Three different times he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. How many of you know that praise and worship is an intimate act? He said, hey, soul, wake up. You need to just take account of everything that God has done for you, and you need to give God some praise. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then I love it. He says, amen, he calls upon himself to render not just a small praise, but an abundant praise. He declares, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Amen. In other words, he says, if I'm going to praise him, that I'm going to do it with all of my heart. If I'm going to praise him, that I'm going to do it with all that is within me. If I'm going to praise him, then I am going to praise him with every fiber of my being. You can give him a little hallelujah praise if you want to, and you can give him a little unenthusiastic glory to God if you want to. You can give him a little apathetic, lukewarm worship if that's all you got. But as for me, I am going to give God all of my praise. Amen. I'm going to shout my praise, amen, from the housetop. I'm going to praise him and make sure that every devil in hell can get an earful. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to praise him, and I'm not going to be backward about it, and I'm not going to be bashful about it. Somebody said, people will think I have lost my mind. Let me just tell you, some of us have already lost our mind. We might well just give God some praise for the things that he's done, and give God the glory for the goodness and the mercy that he's placed in our life. I don't know why it is this morning that we can go to the ball game and holler our head off and come to church and act like we're in a library. Hello? Somebody go, well, if you get too excited about Jesus, people will think you're radical. I am radical. Amen. I am radical. I'm radical about the Lord. He was radical for me. He went all the way to Calvary and was crucified so that I could have life. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Amen. Somebody said, you don't have to get that loud. God's not deaf. Well, I can tell you this morning of a truth. He ain't nervous either. I came to shout some praise unto the Lord this morning. I came to give him the highest praise. I came to let the devil know that I am on the Lord's side. I came to join the heavenly host that's gathered around his throne crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. I'm telling you, sometime we need to wake our soul up and begin to give God some praise for the things that he's done in our life. Amen, amen, amen. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Somebody shout bless the Lord this morning. Bless the Lord. Amen, amen. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 68 and verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. I love that. Every morning, I've used this illustration in the past, but every morning God backs a new truckload of benefits up right in my front yard and just dumps it all over me. He does the same thing for you this morning. He daily loads us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation, Psalms 116 and verse number 12 through verse number 13 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The psalmist is saying, what can I give back unto the Lord for all of his benefits in my life? Well, let me just tell you what you can give back. You can give back a heart of gratitude. You can give back a shout of thanksgiving. You can give back, amen, a hallelujah. You can give back a thank you, Jesus. You can give back unto the Lord for all that he's given unto you by giving him the glory that he deserves. Amen. I can't help myself this morning.
whenever I think of the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for me, I can't help but just saying, God, I love you. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful this morning for the blessings of the Lord. When I think of all that he has done for me. Amen. Some of y'all don't know my whole story, but I can tell you right now, if it had not been for Jesus, I might not even be here this morning. If it had not been for the goodness of the Lord, I would have perished a long time ago. Amen. Some of y'all don't know my whole story, but if it had not been for the Lord, I could have died on a highway drunk a few times. You hear what I'm saying? Some of y'all don't know my story. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, if it had not been for the Lord, I might not even be here today. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Thank God for the long suffering of the Lord. Thank God for the mercy and the grace. Amen. I came to tell somebody this morning that he brought me out of a horrible pit and he planted my feet on a firm foundation and he put a song in my heart. Amen. And a song of joy upon my lips. He forgave my past and he secured my future. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and made me an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And if that ain't enough to shout about and give him praise about, amen, I don't know what is. And some of you have the same kind of story. And we want to set up in church and act like we got it all together and just go, hallelujah. No, the psalmist said, I will praise him. I am going to praise him with all that is in me. I'm going to praise him with all that is within me. Paul, the apostle, says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15, it says, by him, therefore, by Jesus, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to drag a goat or a bullock or a turtle dove into the temple and slay the sacrifice. But do you know what is a sacrifice in the New Testament? Amen. All you got to do is rear back and say hallelujah. All you got to do is rear back and say glory to God. All you got to do is say thank you, Jesus. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. That is the sacrifice of praise. I came to share with you this morning that we need to worship and give thanks unto the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then he says, and forget not all of his benefits. Divine benefits. Divine benefits. This morning, I want to take a few moments to talk about some of the benefits that God has graciously given to you and I. There are five specific things that David points out in our text that God graciously gives to all of us individually. The first benefit that David speaks of, and the first benefit that I would like to talk about this morning, is the scripture says in verse number 3, who forgives all of thine iniquities. He forgiveth all. Everybody say all. Not some. All. Aren't you glad this morning that God doesn't just forgive some of our iniquities? Because I probably got a few in my past that some wouldn't cover. Hello? But he forgives all of our iniquities. He forgives all. Some of you here this morning have listened to the lie of the enemy and the devil told you that you could not be forgiven or that God won't forgive you of this or that. But I will tell you this morning, there is no stain that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away. There is no stain that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. Amen. When we come to the Father in faith and we receive the Son, I want you to know something this morning, that all of our sins are forgiven. All of our sins. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some sin, but all sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, that if we confess our sins, he is just, amen, to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank God in heaven. If we will just do one thing, he will do four. If we will just confess our sin, he will be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Psalms 103 verse 12 said that he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Never to be remembered against us anymore. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 25, God said, I am he that blotteth out your transgressions for mine own sake, and I will remember your sin no more. Oh, what grace. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what long suffering. Oh, what a great salvation. He forgiveth all of our iniquities. And I want you to notice this morning that the word says forgiveth. Forgiveth. Not forgive, but forgiveth. Forgiveth is a verb. It means continual action. Continuous, ongoing action. Well, let me just share with you, one of the benefits of the Lord is not just forgiveness, but continuing, ongoing forgiveness. He forgiveth. He forgiveth. Thank God he forgiveth. Can you say amen? Been a few times in my life I messed up, but he forgiveth. Been a few times I blew it, but he forgiveth. Been a few times I fell short of the glory of God, but he forgiveth. He continues to forgive. Amen, amen. He continues to be forgiving. Thank God, just like the prodigal son, when we come to our senses and we realize our mistake and we fall upon our face and call upon the name of the Lord, he doesn't reject us and he doesn't say, you had your chance. He doesn't just push us off and say, I've already dealt with you. No, when we come to our senses, mercy comes running toward us and meets us right at the point of our need, and God's grace is sufficient. Amen, amen. His blood cleanses from all unrighteousness. The old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. And then the song goes on to say, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Another old hymn says, there is a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all of their guilty stain. Amen. What I'm telling you this morning is one of the benefits of the Lord that he deserves our praise and our worship for is the fact that he not only has forgiven, but he keeps right on forgiving. He forgiveth. He forgiveth all of our iniquities. The second benefit that David speaks of is found in that same third verse. He says he forgives all of thine iniquities. And then check this out. He healeth all of thy diseases. He healeth all of thy diseases. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a healer? Do you believe that God's word teaches that he heals? Well, let me just show you a few things in the word this morning, because I've seen God do some amazing and marvelous things. Our God declares that he is a healer. Somebody said, well, I read in the Bible and know he did heal. Well, let me just tell you what Hebrews 13 and 8 says. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8 says that he is Jesus Christ and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you believe that he did heal, then you have to believe that he will heal. Hello? He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. For those that would say, well, I know he did heal, that one scripture right there can tell us that if you believe he did heal, then you got to believe he still will heal. Because he doesn't change. If he was a healer, he is a healer. And if he was and is, then he will forever be a healer. Here's what his word says, Exodus 15 and 26. Says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I am, not I was, not I will be, but I am right now. Amen. I was would be past tense. I will be would be future tense. But what he said is, I am right now, present tense. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalms 107 verse 20, the Bible said that he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. What word did he send? Amen. The Bible said in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In verse 14 it says, and the word who was with God and was God in the very beginning, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What word did he send? He sent Jesus, amen, the Son of the living God, who would arise with healing in his wings. I came to tell somebody this morning that God is a healer. It's our benefits in serving the Lord. Our benefits serving the Lord. Isaiah 53 and 4 said, surely, and that ain't, surely wasn't the maid. Hello? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Somebody said, Pastor Gary, all of those verses are all Old Testament. Wonderful. Hop over in the New Testament with me. And Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17 through 18 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils, and they will speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. James chapter 5 and verse 14, James says, is any sick among you? Anybody here this morning that need a touch in your body? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And James says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Amen. Somebody said, well, I believe he will heal. I just don't know if he will heal me. I know he can heal, but I don't know if he will heal me. I have told people down through the years, you have leper syndrome. You have leper syndrome. See, there was a leper that came to Jesus. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 2. There was a leper that came to Jesus, and this is what he said. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. That's old English. What he was saying was, Lord, if you will, you can. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this is what Jesus said to him. I will. Be thou clean. Well, let me just tell you, if he will then, he will now. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Yes, I thank God for the doctors and all of the medical things that science can do. But I have seen doctors that have thrown up their hands and said, we can't do anything more. Amen. And that's when God can step in to the midst of a situation and bring some glory to his name. At the end of man, let me just tell you, at the end of man's rope, there is a God that has the power to step down in the middle of our life and give us the miracle that we need. Our God is a healing God. Hallelujah. Pastor Gary, you really believe that? I've seen it with my own eyes. Seen it with my own eyes. There was a lady in Hillsburg, California, up in the Nampa Valley area. Hillsburg, California. I went to hold a revival there. The church had been praying for her. She had what they call Graves' disease. Graves' disease. And literally, it's a thyroid issue of some sort where the thyroid is just in overdrive and a person literally just kind of burns themselves out. She was as skinny as a rail. She was just hollow. Her eyes sunk in the back of her head, had a goiter on the side of her neck about the size of a large plum. The church had been praying that God would heal her. I went to hold a revival there. I preached that evening. She came up for prayer. I laid my hand on her and prayed in the name of Jesus. The pastor was standing at her side on her right side. He would have been on my left. Pastor was standing there. I laid hands on her and I prayed. And just as I was about to step away, I watched that goiter here on the side of her neck just simply go, oh, it was gone. Pastor hit his knees and went, oh my God, it's gone. They had given her 6 months to live. The last time that I checked, which would have been about 10 years ago, she was still alive and well. Why? Because God is a healer. I've seen it with my own eye. It came too late to tell me that it means it's just emotional healing or just, spiritually. Yes, he heals emotionally. Yes, he heals spiritually. But God has the power to heal our body. Amen. If he can make the lame walk and the dumb talk and the deaf to hear and the dead raise and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he's still got the power to bring deliverance into our life. I'm going to get carried away. I got three more benefits to get covered here. Benefit number three, he redeems our life from destruction. He redeems our life from destruction. Amen. He redeems. The Bible said in Psalms 9 and 17, the wicked shall be turned to hell and all of the nations that forget God. Let me just tell you this morning, if you are living in a forgetful way toward God, you are headed for destruction. That ain't my word. I didn't write it. I'm just the delivery boy. If you are living your life in such a manner that you are forgetting to reverence and serve the Lord, then you are headed for destruction. But he redeems our life from destruction. The Bible said in John 10 and 10 that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the enemy is out to do. The enemy is out to destroy each one of us. Amen. But he, Jesus, he redeemed my life from destruction. He sent his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus went on to say in John 10 and 10, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He redeems our life from destruction. Psalms 124 and verse 7 says, our soul has escaped. Act like a bird or as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Picture that in your mind. The psalmist is saying, amen, the snare of the fowler is there waiting to ensnare and trap the bird. That's the picture that he's drawing for our soul. The devil has set up a trap. The devil has set up a snare to entrap us, to, amen, bring us into bondage, to cage us. But the psalmist said, but our soul has escaped like the, amen, like the bird out of the snare of the fowler. Amen. God has broken the snare and we have been set free. He redeems our life from destruction. Amen. I probably shouldn't ask this, but how many of you ever did a little time in jail? Hello? It ain't all that great being cooped up, locked up, and knowing you ain't getting out for a little while. Right? And when you hear the door open, I remember I was invited to preach at the Boise Penitentiary some years ago. And I went into the penitentiary. They gave me a lanyard. I never knew what a lanyard was till they gave one to me. And I held on to that lanyard. That lanyard gave me access to the interior portions of the penitentiary. I preached in they have a chapel in there. I preached in that chapel. There were hundreds of people that came up and answered the altar call. And I was teasing them before the service. You know, they were saying, can I see your lanyard or your name tag? Nope, you cannot. I'm hanging on to this because I plan to go home tonight. This is my ticket out of here. You hear what I'm saying? Well, the snare of the fowler has been broken like a caged individual, like someone who's been in bondage, like someone who's been in captivity, like someone who's been incarcerated. Jesus Christ has opened the cell door and let us go free. He's redeemed our life from destruction. The power of sin has been broken and the benefit of God has set us free. He's redeemed our life and made us free. Now, the fourth benefit that I want to talk about, it says that he's crowned us. He's crowned us with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. He's crowned us. Stop and think about it. I'm going to tell my age by sharing this with you, but I remember when I was growing up, and I don't remember what the product was. It was some kind of margarine or some kind of butter, chiffon maybe, I don't know. I think it was. It just came to me. I think it was chiffon. But they would, you know, they had the commercial where they were putting this chiffon or this imitation butter on their toast, and then they would take a bite and would go, and there was a crown on their head. I remember being really impressed with that at about 9 years old. I'm like, wow, that is cool. That's what he's done with us. He's crowned us with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. He's crowned us with loving kindness. It means that he has bestowed upon us. He has given to us his love. He has given to us his kindness and his mercy, and his goodness encircles our head like a crown. God's loving kindness and God's tender mercies have been bestowed upon us. Amen. Isaiah 54 in verse number 10 says, for the mountains shall depart apart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Amen. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy upon you. What God is saying is the mountains of the foothills out here, they may melt and go away, but my loving kindness will always follow you. What a powerful statement. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. We don't have to go looking for the kindness and the mercy of God. It will come looking for us. It will come looking for us. Lamentations 3:22 said, the Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That in itself is something to shout about. When my boys were little, some of you parents will understand what I'm talking about. When my boys were little, at the end of the day, they would wear me out. I'm like, please, God, just let them go to bed. Hello? And then I would walk to the bedroom door and look in on them, and they were all sleeping, and I'm like, ah. It wasn't so bad. They're just getting energy to do the same thing tomorrow. Hello? Well, God says his compassions are new every morning. Thank God, thank God. Thank God, it is a picture of a tender and loving father that's tenderly caring for the needs of his children. God's word declares that his compassions are new every morning. Psalms 23 and verse 6 said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If I could illustrate what that literally means, I'd have two people come up here and stand behind me and follow me everywhere I went around this sanctuary. I mean, I'd have two people. I'd name one of them goodness and one of them mercy, and I would take off walking out here and go all the way around and just have them follow me. That's what God says about his goodness and his mercy. I don't have to go looking for it. It's chasing me. All I got to do is stop, turn around, and his goodness and his mercy is right there behind me, following me all the days of my life. I'm surrounded by his loving kindness. I am surrounded this morning by the benefit of his goodness. I am surrounded this morning because I'm crowned with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. The fifth thing that I want to share with you this morning is found in verse number 5. He says, who satisfies our mouth with good things. God, one of God's benefits is that he satisfies our mouth with good things. How many of you like good things? Ever get a hankering for something? I don't have it often, but I love banana pudding. Every once in a while, baby will make daddy a banana pudding. And I can just lay my lips around and go, like Bill Murray with the corn. Some of you missed that. Pastor preached about Bill Murray here a few Sundays ago. He satisfies our mouth with good things. My wife and I went to dinner. It's been a while back. We were at the Outback Steakhouse. She ordered, you know, and everything. And then she asked the lady, she said, do you have anchovies to go in the salad? And I'm like,
So the woman said, yes. Ty said, just bring them on the side and I'll cut them up. And she put them in the salad and she was like, oh, this is so good. I'm like, you know, the only time I ever tried an anchovy, I think I was about 19 and I didn't get too much for it, if I remember correctly. She said, oh, you have got to taste this. This is just blue cheese and anchovies. And it's just, oh, it's just phenomenal. And that woman lied to me. She said, here, have a bite. And the trusting soul that I am, I opened my mouth. And I took a bite of that, and I'm like, boom. You have got to be kidding me. Now I remember why I didn't care for anchovies on the pizza. Well, God ain't like that. He says, I satisfy your mouth with good things. I satisfy your mouth with good things. That's why David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me make a statement this morning. I have never met a Christian who was living right that wasn't satisfied. I never met a child of God who was living right that didn't have a satisfaction in their heart. Oh, they might have been going through hell and high water, but they had a joy that the world didn't give them and the world couldn't take away. They had a satisfaction of serving the Lord. You hear what I'm saying this morning? He satisfies our mouth with good things. There's a story in John chapter 2 about a little woman. She's at the well. Jesus has an appointment there. He stops at the well, and this little Samaritan woman shows up, and Jesus says to her, give me to drink. And she looks at him like he had lost his mind and said, what are you, being a Jew, asking me for a drink of water? The Jews and the Samaritans don't even talk to each other. And Jesus says to her these words. He says, if you knew who it was, if you only knew who it was that asked you for a drink of water, you would ask me, and I would give you a drink of water that would cause you to never thirst again. She looked at Jesus and she said, in essence, you ain't even got a bucket. How are you going to give me this living water? Jesus said to her, he said, I will. Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. And she says to him, he says, why don't you go get your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right, you've had five. And the guy that you're with now is not your husband. She said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I mean, he's reading her mail. Can you say amen? Well, listen what this little interaction really, really, really means. Jesus says to her, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you're right, you've got five. You've had five, and the guy you're with now, number six, he is not your husband. But if you'll ask me, number seven, I'll give you a drink of living water that you'll never thirst again. Now, let me just show you something here. Number six in scriptural numerology is the number of man. What Jesus was saying was, you've been trying to satisfy your heart with men. You've been trying to satisfy the longing of your soul, searching for what men can give you. But if you'll ask me, number seven, even scriptural numerology, number seven means completion and perfection. Jesus was saying, if you'll ask me, I'll give you a drink of living water that'll satisfy the longing of your heart. I came to tell somebody this morning that one of the benefits of serving the Lord is having a satisfied heart. Amen. You're not going to escape every trial. You're not going to escape every hardship. You're not going to escape every hard place. But let me just tell you this morning, you can have a satisfied mind and a satisfied heart as you walk through those things because of number seven. You can have a satisfied heart because Christ is the Lord of your life. He satisfies our mouth with good things. He is everything that we will ever need. He is Jehovah Jireh.
He is the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Rahai, the Lord our shepherd. He is Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is present. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Tsitkenu, which means he is the Lord our righteousness. Whatever you are searching for this morning, the answer is in him. He satisfies our mouth with good things, and he deserves our praise. Hallelujah. He daily loads us with benefits. When I begin to read over the verses of the text, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgiveth all of thy diseases. He healeth all of thy diseases. He crowns us with loving kindnesses and tender mercies and satisfies our mouth with good things. Whatever you are searching for this morning, I'm telling you that Christ is the answer. He forgives all iniquities, heals all diseases. He crowns our life. He gives us his loving kindnesses and his tender mercies and satisfies the longing of our heart. I'll tell you what brought me to the Lord. My aspirations in life was to become an entertainer. I was running around the country, playing country rock music, had a group called Gary White and the Countrymen, had a record deal with Caprice Records. I don't even know if they're still in business, but they were at the time. I thought I was having a measure of success, had money, thought I was headed in the right direction, and I'm coming home, and the Lord just gently begins to speak to my heart one day while I'm driving home. Coming back from Grand Junction, Colorado, and the Lord said these words to me. He said, "Are you happy?" I'm like, well, you know, now that you bring it up, not so much. Lord said, "You got a good wife, you got money, you got a little notoriety, you've been doing it your way. Are you happy? Do you have a satisfaction in your spirit?" And I'm like, "No, no. In fact, it's just all empty." And the Lord said to me the same thing that he said to the woman at the well, "Ask me, and I'll give you a drink of water that'll cause you to never thirst again." Right between Mountain Home and Twin Falls, I pulled off the side of the road. My wife sitting beside me pulled off the side of the road, tears running down my face. And I said, "Lord Jesus, if you come into my life, I'll never look back. I'll walk away from all of that mess. I'll walk away from all of this stuff, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I will just walk away from all of it. I just want my heart to have peace with God." And he gave me that. He gave me that. And I've never looked back. Never looked back. That was 1984. Actually, late 83. And I never went back. Never turned my back upon the Lord. Why? Because I found something that's real, that satisfies. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads, please. Father, I thank you for the benefits of serving Jesus. Thank you that you forgiveth all of our iniquities, that you heal all of our diseases, that you crown our life with loving kindness and tender mercy, that you deliver us from destruction, that you satisfy our mouth with good things so that our strength is renewed, so that we can mount up with wings as an eagle. Thank you that the reality of serving you, Lord, is so wonderful and so powerful.
I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, if there are those that are here in this place that are not enjoying the benefits of their salvation, let them call upon the name of the Lord, and I pray that you will unload your goodness upon them this morning. Touch our hearts with the word, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Sometimes, we live below our benefits. Sometimes we have benefits and we don't even know we have them. This morning, God wants you to know that He forgives. This morning, God wants you to know that He heals. This morning, God wants you to know that He redeems. That He crowns your life with tender mercies and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness. And He wants you to know that He's longing to satisfy your mouth with good things. He wants to give you peace like you have never had peace. Joy like you have never had joy. A relationship with Him that you have never had before. Are you here this morning? You'd slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. I needed to hear the word this morning. Yes, yes, and yes, and yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Hands lifted. Stand to your feet this morning, please. Stand to your feet this morning, please. Let me pray with those. Join me. Pray with those that lifted their hands. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, those that lifted their hands here in this house this morning, Father, abundantly, overwhelmingly, in Jesus' mighty name, pour out your Spirit into their heart and into their life. In such a fashion that they realize the benefit of your salvation that they have been missing in their life. Father, you've seen every hand. Touch their hearts this morning. Minister to the strength of their life this morning. Pour out your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy this morning. Pour out your love, your Holy Spirit upon them. In the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. Lord, those that have been caged up, release them. Those that have been bound, release them. Those that have been longing for a taste of something that's real, satisfy their mouth this morning, Lord, with good things. I pray these things, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us leave differently than what we came. Heal every wounded heart. Heal every wounded body. Heal every wounded spirit. Heal every individual. Pour out your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Set free the captive. Set free those who are bound. Let them go free this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Go ahead. Come on.